Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning, and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites man by man. And Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. God has a way of troubling the troublemaker. The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You may be seated. We've chosen for our text here in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 25. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. Why hast thou troubled us? Achan probably never imagined that his sin that he had hid and hypocrited about would be brought out before not only his whole family, his whole tribe, his whole nation, and before Joshua. His sin was brought out before the entire nation. I'm preaching again tonight on what I started last Wednesday night. I started preaching about the trouble in this chapter. Achan is indicted here of causing those in the nation of Israel trouble from God. Let's pray. Father, as we come tonight, Lord, we want to say thank you for this good service. Thank you, God, for the good songs of Zion. Thank you, God, that we do have a Savior who shed His blood and brought us into His family by the mighty power of God. I ask you, Lord, to touch each and every one that's here. My desire, Lord, tonight is not to impress anyone, but to impact their lives by the living Word of God. I pray you'd give us, Lord, that fire of God in our heart that would burn out the dross of sin in this congregation. I pray for that one who has dissembled, who has hidden behind a face of hypocrisy. Oh, God, would you dig out that sin that they buried so deep in their heart? Would you help them to confess it and forsake it before the judgment of God falls upon their heart and their life and possibly even their own family? Help us here tonight, God, to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. And Lord, help us, I pray, to examine our own lives and perfect holiness in every way. Help us to give you honor and glory. May the scriptures magnify you. May the preaching of God's word magnify you. And we'll praise you for it now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look back at what we have studied thus far in this chapter, in the first five verses, we look at Joshua's dismay. He had no idea that the battle at Ai was going to end in such a horrible defeat. The Bible said in verse 5, 36 men lay dead on the battlefield. The rest of the soldiers that went out to Ai came back, as it were, in a state of utter defeat. And so now Joshua realizes that somehow the promise of God has not been fulfilled. It is not gone without fulfillment because that God was not able. It is gone without fulfillment because there is sin in the camp of Israel. Though that defeat of the Israelites brought death and it brought dismay, it caused Joshua to seek God and to determine what the problem was as they moved forward. When Joshua got on his face and he began to seek God, the Bible said in verse 10, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and also stolen and dissembled also. They have put it even among their own stuff." And so the clear voice of God pierces this scene of defeat and dismay. And now something else has to take place. That is, the sin of Achan and his family has to be dealt with biblically. Achan's sin in this chapter is described in detail. In fact, not only does God describe it for us from the perspective of the throne, but also Achan confesses it for us. So Achan is able to be honest. Sadly, he crossed the mercy line. He crossed God's deadline, even as one that was of the company of Israel. And so this sin is described, and then it is discovered, and then God gave Joshua the prescription to deal with it. I can say that if you have sin in your heart and you harden your heart against the will of God, there will come a day when God will deal with you severely. And so in this chapter, there is the description of Achan's sin. In fact, we know already it is attributed to the entire congregation. When God said Israel committed a trespass in verse 1, He treated this entire nation as an organic body, and they are suffering now because of the sin that is in the life of one man. Now, Achan's sin is not just a mistake. mistake. His sin is not just a petty failure. His sin is flagrant rebellion against a holy God. There is probably no sin in all of the Scripture that God deals with so severely as He deals with the sin of rebellion. It's the sin, my friend, that caused Lucifer to be cast from the third heaven. It's the sin that sent Korah and his family to hell alive. And so if you've got rebellion instilled in your heart, you can expect the pure judgment of God. He sinned against the pure life of God's instruction. And so there are multiple terms about Achan's sin in the second half of this chapter. These multiple terms emphasize the severity of Achan's sin, and also they lead up to the imminent judgment of God. Notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, Israel hath sinned, number one, and they have transgressed, number two, my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken, number three, and then also the word stolen is used. And they dissembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff. And so first of all, God said that Israel has sinned. That is, they have missed the mark. Now realize that our culture, the term sin, has been mocked and has been made fun of. I want to tell you that a holy God who made you in His image still has lifted up a standard in this Bible. Achan had missed the mark of God's requirement. It's not just a mistake. It is something, my friend, that was a flagrant rebellion in the sight of God. Everyone in Israel had the same instructions and the same requirements. And Achan failed to follow the instructions of God. He did not miss the mark out of ignorance. He did not miss the mark out of weakness. Instead, he missed the mark out of pure rebellion. And the term sin is the past tense. It indicates something there's no question about. It indicates an accomplished fact. And something is not a mere mistake. So first of all, Achan missed the mark. Secondly, Achan crossed God's boundary. Verse 11 said, and they have also transgressed my covenant. That word transgress indicates that someone has crossed a boundary, or that a boundary has been crossed by someone that was placed there by God. And Achan had crossed God's boundary laid out in Joshua 6, verse 18 and 19. In fact, at the very heart of this sin that Achan is guilty of is the fact that he flaunted his own will against the will of God, that he ignored God's instructions, and he defied God's authority. Not only did he cross God's boundary, but he kept on going. It's as if he crossed the line and he continued on farther. And then he covered his sin up with hypocrisy. And then, in a sense, because of the way his sin is dealt with here, he shook his fist in the face of God as if to say, God, it doesn't matter. You're not going to do anything anyway. That is what the Bible calls a presumptuous sin. And the Bible tells us that the effects of sin can harden the heart of an individual. The Bible said, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Did you know the Bible said, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law? For sin is transgression of the law. What is it about us that we feel like that we're going to be the exception? What is it about us that we feel like that somehow the results of sin are going to be different for us than they are for anybody else? That when you cross God's boundary, when you sin against God, your worldly wisdom about how you've explained it away and your corrupt nature is going to cause you to cover it up. But if you cross God's boundary, it's a sin just like it was in the life of Achan. And so not only did he miss the mark and cross the boundary, but the Bible said in verse 11 that they have also taken and stolen, taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. That is, Achan took what really belonged to God. Did you know that Achan is guilty of the sin of stealing from God? And God brands him as a thief. Oh, in our society, the sin of thievery is not placed on a very serious level. In fact, even many church people have criminal records for larceny and other things. Oh, in our hour, Achan's sin does not look very bad, especially if you're looking from the perspective of Hollywood. But when you look from the perspective of the Holy Bible, it's a very different scenario. The Bible said that Achan had stolen. That's the past tense. That is, these goods had been taken. They belonged to God. Can you imagine his heart had gotten so hard that he thought that it was okay? He was willing to play it out to the very end. I wonder in my own mind as I meditated today if Achan said in his mind, just was not aware of what I've done. No, just was not aware, but God is aware. You may have looked this way and that way. You may have looked north, south, and east and west, but you did not look upward where a holy God is. And that same holy God has taken notice of the fact that you have stolen the things that belong to him. And the Bible teaches us here that he had taken and stolen the spoils of Jericho. He took the very thing that belonged to God. He took that which brought God glory. And he took the goods that should have been brought into the treasury. I tell you, I'd be afraid. I think largely that a lot of churchgoers have lost the fear of God. I'm telling you, I'd be afraid to treat God in the way that some believers treat God. But Achan took what belonged unto the Lord. That is, he's guilty of stealing the spoils of Jericho. And then number four in verse 11, Achan is guilty of what the Bible said, dissemble. They have taken of the cursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled in verse 11. Now, it's probably not a word we're familiar with. I looked up the word in the old Webster's dictionary, and he said it means to hide. To dissemble means to hide under a false appearance, to conceal or to disguise, to pretend that not to be which really is. In other words, the whole time this was going on, as soon as Israel lost and Joshua got up off his face and he began to proceed with the examination, Achan acted like there was nothing wrong. He was able to put on his game face and act like that nothing was actually wrong. The sad thing is, his entire family played the same game. They acted the part all the way to the place where the rocks fell on them under the judgment of God. And the commentary upon their life is that they played the hypocrite. And Job said that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment. That is, the performance of their act turned to agony, and the secrecy of their sin was exposed and condemned before the entire nation. And so they missed the mark. The Bible said they crossed God's boundary. They stolen the spoils. They played the hypocrite. Verse 15 said, and it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire. And all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant, and because he hath brought folly in Israel. Sadly, sin made a fool out of Achan. Oh, I want to say tonight, probably the saddest term of all. The word folly, Webster said, means an absurd act, which is highly sinful. Any conduct contrary to the laws of God or man. Scandalous crimes. Interestingly enough, in the 1828 dictionary, along with this particular definition, he cites Achan as one who had played the fool with his life. And so Achan played
the fool. How did he do it? First of all, he ignored God's instructions. I want to say to you tonight, if you take sin into your life, if you try to play a fool's game, sin is like a boomerang. You can throw it, but it'll come back, and it'll come back to you where you have sent it off. And the Bible teaches us that there is a law called the law of sowing and reaping. And the Scripture teaches us we reap as we sow. We reap more than we sow. And sometimes the reaping process is multiplied many, many times. Oh, may God help us tonight. He ignored God's instructions. Not only that, he rejected God's requirements. And then he played the hypocrite down to the very end. So first of all, here tonight, we see in Achan's example the description of his sin. Secondly, we not only see the description of his sin, but secondly, we see the detriment of his sin. In verse 12, God gives us the detriment of Achan's sin. Now, I promise you tonight that the pleasure of sin is far outweighed by the pain which it will produce. The deceitfulness of sin. And Satan tells these same lies. He tells them to people of all ages. He tells the teenager, go ahead and sow your wild oats. You don't have to worry about the consequences. You can always ask God to forgive you later. You can get serious about a relationship with your Savior later. Oh, he's a liar. And so many young people go to hell without God because they believe the devil's lie and the deceitfulness of sin. The devil tries to tell middle-aged people that. Here's a man that's looking over the fence at somebody else's wife. And the devil's telling him, well, it'll be a whole lot better if you get her, or if you get that one down on the job, or get that one at the place of your recreation, or you get that one somewhere where you frequent day by day. I want to tell you this. If you believe the devil's lie, you'll wind up in his trap, and he'll try to keep you as long as he possibly can. So the deceitfulness of sin is far outweighed by its destructive effects. But Israel forfeited some precious things because of the sin of Achan. Verse number 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. The first thing they lost was God's power. Now, Ai was relatively small, and yet Israel was powerless. Why? It's because sin had drained out the power that God had granted them by his promise. Why were they defeated at Ai? Why did 36 men lay on the battlefield dead? Why did some woman cry herself to sleep that night? Why did some baby go to bed that night saying, Mom, I want my daddy? I'll tell you why. It's because of the horrible effect of sin. Oh, I've been preaching now for almost 40 years. I want to tell you, the devil's telling the same lies. He's pulling the same tricks. He's offering the same bait. He's casting the same worms in the water. And a lot of people are still biting the same baits that he's fishing out across the waters of life. Oh, if you and I could understand that sin robs us of the very power of God. It makes us bankrupt to face the enemy. It makes us bankrupt to face the world. It robs us of our salt and our savor. It takes away from us our joy. And most of all, it takes from us the power of God. Oh, there's something so priceless and so precious. Oh, there's something so necessary and something so indispensable. That is the power of God on the life of a believer. But sometimes the Holy Ghost is so grieved by sin on the inside of the heart, and he's so quenched by an unwilling spirit that the power of God has been taken off of the lives of believers. I want to say, first of all, they forfeited the power of God. What can we trace in the the house of God of powerlessness among God's people. Why is it that the devil steps in and he raises up a standard and it seems like that defeat rolls on like a domino effect? Oh, I want to tell you why. It's because God's people have lost the power of God on their lives. Oh, I hear the old time preacher say that in the old days, even the drunkards would walk down the street where the church was, and they wouldn't walk down the sidewalk on the side where the church was, but they'd cross over the sidewalk and they'd tip their hat on the other side at the house of God. I'm talking about a godless drunkard that did not even know Christ. Why? It's because those old churches had the power of God on their life. Oh, it's because those old time Christians have the touch of God on their life. Why? It's because they believe God's people ought to be holy and they walk in the holiness of God. Oh, may God get us back to a fear of God and walk in the holiness of God. Amen. So they lost the power of God. Number two, he said they lost the presence of God. Verse 12, neither will I be with you anymore. God said, you better not go back up to battle. He said, you're going to lose. See, their greatest weapon was not a sling or a catapult. Their greatest weapon was not a spear or a sword. In the primitive language of that day, their greatest weapon was not in their munitions and their combat gear. And by the way, our greatest weapon is the same. Oh, listen, America, some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You better not think it's all in missiles and jets. You better not think it's in tanks and bombs. And you better not think it's in nuclear warfare, but the help we've got from God is the greatest help that anybody could give. I'm telling you, the presence of God among His people has brought victory. It's not in numbers. It's not in a majority, but it's the greatness of the presence of God. But sin had caused an absence of the presence of God. God said, I'm not going with you now. And the power and presence of God was not with them in the battle. Therefore, their greatest asset was not their readiness to move back to Ai. No, their greatest asset was not in the dictates of the elders of Israel. Their greatest asset was not in the wisdom of the wise men. No, their greatest asset was the presence of Almighty God. Oh, their greatest asset was the Holy One of Israel. Their greatest asset was the fact that God was in the camp. Oh, I bless His holy name. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it in all the world when the presence of God permeates the house of God. And when the presence of God permeates the services, their problem was there was a great absence of the presence of Almighty God. Thirdly, the great thing they lacked now was that sin also had halted their progress. The Bible said in verse number 13, up sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. God said, Israel, you can't move forward now. That is, you've got a curse on you. Now I want to tell you, what God curses, no man can bless. What God blesses, no man can curse. And when we look at this section of the Bible, throughout this chapter, in fact, 12 times, the phrase, accursed thing, it's here in verse 13, and it's scattered throughout this chapter. See, those spoils of Jericho belong to God. They have taken what belonged to God. They have taken that for themselves. They have robbed God of His glory, and they've robbed God of the spoils of victory. And the warning from God revealed that if they took the treasure of Jericho, He would make the entire camp of Israel accursed in verse 18. And God already warned them not to take that which belonged to Him. How many Christians today are walking as if they belong to themselves? Are you listening now? How many Christians today are acting like that the commands of God are like a buffet at the Golden Corral? Well, I want some of this. This looks like some good strawberry cake.
I don't want any of that about sin, that strong meat that belongs to them that are full age. Bring us a little smooth preaching, preacher. Tell us like they did in Isaiah's day. Speak to us smooth things. And Jeremiah said, the prophets prophesy lies. And my people love to have it so. Why is it today that people want somebody to tell them their sin is all right? Why is it they make an enemy out of a man of God? Why is it they set their will against God? And why doesn't the preacher quit preaching on sin? Listen, I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm in Joshua chapter 7, preaching verse by verse. And I'm telling you about how God's power is gone, how His presence is gone, how the progress of the nation is stopped. And that is because of sin. Oh, if we would just see and put ourselves in the place where Achan is at this very hour. And you realize that Joshua has been directed by God to make an investigation. The Bible said in verse 13, he said, sanctify the people. That investigation includes a setting apart of every Israelite. Secondly, in verse 13, he said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there's an accursed thing in the midst of thee. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take it away. There must be a separation from that which has brought the curse of God. Finally, in this time, there is an examination. And so the message goes out all over Israel that all the nation must pass before God. They asked Daniel Webster. Daniel Webster was at a very formal dinner with some educated men, and he was acting as if he was deep in thought. So one of the men asked him, he said, Mr. Webster, do you mind sharing with us today what the most awesome thought is that's ever entered into your mind? He said, the most awesome thought that has ever entered into my mind is my responsibility or accountability to God. That's the most awesome thought that's ever entered into my mind. Now here, imagine you're here in the nation of Israel. And Joshua said on tomorrow, there's going to be an examination. Every tribe's got to pass before the tabernacle. Every family, not only every tribe, but then every family of the one that is taken until the family heads are brought before Israel. And then from the family heads, the very head of the family is going to be exposed. And then from that, the very one that is guilty of taking the accursed thing. I know human nature enough to know there was a few cynics probably in the crowd. And they probably said, I don't know what Joshua's got in mind. What in the world does he think he's going to do? It's not what Joshua thinks he's going to do. It's what God said for Joshua to do. You imagine standing there that day, not even realizing what the Hebrew writer said is about to take place. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It had been much better for Achan to come to Joshua and say, Joshua, please. Please beg for the mercies of the Lord. Joshua, please, please don't allow me and my family to suffer for this presumptuous and heinous sin. Joshua, please, please allow the priest to bring sacrifice. I'll give a ram. I'll give a goat. I'll give a lamb. I'll give a burnt offering. I'll sacrifice. I'll do whatever I have to do. Please allow the mercies of God to come to me and my family. But no. No, Achan is not going to plead for the mercy of God. He's not going to own his sin. He's going to hypocrite until the very end. So the discovery process goes forward. The discovery of Achan and his family goes forward. In the morning, therefore, verse 14, ye shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof. And the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households. And the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the cursed thing shall be burnt with fire. He and all that he hath. Can you imagine Achan and his family still standing there? Achan's wife knows all about what's hidden in the tent. Achan's children know what a hypocrite that he is. They know all about his life. And yet nobody says a word. I believe that the atmosphere was probably so thick you could cut it with a knife. I'm sure that when they come, just like the Bible says here, so Joshua rose up early in the morning, verse 16, and brought Israel by their tribes. Tribe by tribe, passed by. All of a sudden, God indicated that it was Judah. The tribe of Judah was taken. The Bible lets us know here in verse 16, the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites. And he brought of the Zarahites man by man. The household head of the Zarahites was a man named Zabdi. And Zabdi was taken. Now, I don't know if you probably have imagined. I'm not sure you have thought about this, how this is playing out. But all those people are standing there. You wonder what Miss Aiken is thinking now when it's come down now to the very household head. The household of the Zarahites, and Zabdi was taken. And so he brought his household, the Bible said, man by man. I believe you could have heard it. You could have heard their hearts beating probably from the corner of the tabernacle. As man by man came before Joshua and the leaders of Israel. And he brought his household, verse 18, man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. How sad it is that Achan now is identified as the guilty one. I've been in church discipline proceedings before. It's when a person's hardened their heart to the point where they're not going to get right with God. I've had some say and heard some say, they say, I'm going to lie till I die. I'm just going to lie till I die. You know what? You may go that way sooner than you realize if you rebel against God with a hardened heart like that. Oh, may God help us tonight. It's difficult for me to imagine that Achan held on through the entire process. He never cried out to God for mercy. He never begged for loving kindness from God. He never begged for a space of grace for his wife and his children. You know why? He was so sold on loving himself, nobody else really mattered. He was so caught up in the idolatry that he'd worship about his own self-worth and all the things that come with the sin that he was guilty of. So the process went on by God's direction until the entire end. Achan finally admits what he's guilty of. And the things that are brought out by that confession show the very pathway and the very nature of temptation in the Scripture. Achan followed the path of temptation. He wound up overcome by his own selfish desires. And now, in just a little while, his family is going to be buried in a grave likened to that one that Absalom died and was buried in. Oh, it's a sad day. I'll be honest with you, I can't identify with Achan, because I'm sure if you would have heard the cries of that wife and those children, I'm sure if you would have heard the blood-curdling cries of that family under the judgment of God, you would have said, "Dear God, sir, why didn't you cry out for mercy? Why did you harden your heart? Why did you rebel against God? Why did you fight God? Why did you allow sin to reign in your heart to this point?" And yet the story will be the same for those who go on in rebellion. And I want to say tonight, you and I ought to take a close inventory of our lives. We ought to search our own hearts. I tell you, as a father, there have been many times the old enemy has tried his tricks on my life. And you say, "What'd you think about?" You know what I thought about? I thought about my precious wife and those three babies. I thought about my precious family. I thought about what would happen if my life took a turn and I went down one of the devil's pig paths.
I thought about my kids hanging their head saying, yeah, my daddy used to be a preacher. My daddy used to pastor churches, and now he's washed out and he's caught up in embezzlement or caught up in some kind of fraud or some kind of scheme like that. I'm telling you, honey, not only do I love God and I value the testimony of God, but also I fear the God that I serve. I know that God will bring us down to judgment and the chastening before the Lord. In this day, we know there's too many who have stained their own reputation with the crimes and deceitfulness that has been brought out before many. How many people have been hurt and wounded by people who have taken a dive morally in the Christian life. And I want to say this, it really is sad because there's church people and even preachers. I've got a preacher friend. Every pastor he ever had ran off with a woman in the church. And you think what kind of mental scars that puts on the mind of a young man that's just starting out in the ministry. I want to tell you, friend, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you want to pay. And I want to say tonight, oh, may God help His men to rise up in these days and warn the people of God. Why? Because a lot of people go shopping for sin. The problem is they never look at the price tag. They never look at the price tag. A lot of young people go shopping for sin. They think they're somehow going to be an exception to the fact that sin's going to take them down the most awful road they've ever been down. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be an exception. Your story, it's not going to be any different than anybody else's trash their life. You listen very carefully to this preacher. And listen, I love you more than probably you'll ever even realize. There are many of you here tonight I've prayed for by name, day by day, day by day, asking God to help you and asking God to work in your heart. But I'm going to tell you, if you take that path, you better realize this, that the pain that sin brings is far greater than the pleasure you experienced. I could tell you tonight story after story. I could tell you about some of the most bitter tears I've ever shed in my life watching what the devil has done in people's lives. You better be careful. You better be honest with yourself. Achan, not only was his sin detailed, but his sin was discovered. Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight. The musicians are coming.